So just a few reminders for those of you online, just make sure you keep your mics muted so there's no echo and we don't hear any background noise during the meeting. Also, if you wouldn't mind signing in the chat just with your name and affiliation, we'd appreciate that just so we can keep track of how many people we had in attendance to this workshop. Also, just a reminder that this is a workshop, so there will be no action taken. This is mainly just to get everybody's input on the proposed changes to this regulation with respect to verification or verifier certification and decertification. So we'll have plenty of time for public comment, which we will actually probably move into now. We'll have an initial public comment period to get your initial thoughts. And then we're going to do a quick presentation on kind of the need for codifying these regulations, and then kind of how those will come into play. And then we'll go into another public comment period and then adjourn. And then we're going to take all of your comments into account when we're moving forward between now and the hearing. And that will take place at the next SEC meeting. So that's kind of the timeline and the purpose of this workshop itself. So with that, I guess I will open it up for public comment. Those of you making comment, please state your name and affiliation for the record so that we know who to record with it. And your public comment should be concise. If you are an individual, you'll have 3 minutes. And if you're representing a group, you'll have 5 minutes. So we will open that up. I guess we'll do in person first, if you have any public comment to start.
Sure, I do win one or the other session. I'll go now, if that's appropriate. Okay.
And I'll put a timer up here too. So.
Okay, thanks. My name is Adrian Chunkosa. I'm representing myself and my one-person firm, Ecosynthesis. And I've been a CCS verifier since the inception of the program in 2016. I also have like 45 years experience in quantitative vegetation sampling and habitat characterization. And I've collaborated with Pete Coates' research group on some field research on attempts to improve the Arctic vegetation sampling. In brief, I'm a big supporter of the program's overall concept and very supportive of the concept of this amendment, so I'm not opposing that, the gist of it at all. However, I'm concerned that without any revision, the wording of the proposed amendment to NEC 232.480 is not entirely in the program's best interest. To my knowledge, the HQT and critically the debit credit calculator spreadsheets never had a public comment period before being implemented. This is unfortunate because there are some significant scientific flaws in it or improvements that could be made, which I pointed out more than once long ago to staff who are no longer with the set. I was asked not to discuss these concerns with potential applicants and haven't done so as a courtesy, even though I think that's kind of the wrong concept. It's a concern now because the proposed decertification language seems to me to allow for the program to permanently disqualify verifiers if they discuss some aspect of the system that is deemed to be a, quote, misrepresentation or to have an adverse impact on the program. Not only is that a free speech concern, but it also makes it even harder than it already is ever to improve the program. I strongly urge the council to ensure that an addition be made to the proposed amendment that explicitly protects legitimate, objective comment on the CCS program. I would also urge careful consideration of whether all of the proposed causes for disciplinary action are justified by what verifiers actually do and are sufficiently specific for us to be sure that we're in compliance. For example, A and H. The public has never been able to see what the formulas are in the calculator spreadsheets, so I have no way of knowing whether my understanding of whether there's a problem or not is a, quote, misrepresentation or not. But as best as I can determine indirectly, one respect in which the current CCS system is inconsistent with public research results in large overestimates of debits, thus imposing a significant financial penalty on some projects, but not others. Given that there's already an imbalance between anticipated debits and available credits, it would be wise for the long-term viability of the program to address this and other sampling and quantification issues sooner rather than later. Better still, albeit years later than it should have been, having an open public comment period. would be very helpful to people.
Is that it?
Yes. Are there any public comments online? There is not. So next, I'm just going to go into a quick presentation on kind of the need for this, how it came about, and how it will be implemented. And then we'll go through a little bit of the specific language. Okay, can everyone see the presentation online?
Yes.
Yep, can see it.
Okay, so again, this is a proposed amendment to NAC 232-480, and that has to do with the training and certification of verifiers by the SET and the maintenance of the list of those trained and certified verifiers online. So the current language of this is that the SageBridge ecosystem technical team shall, one, train and certify persons to be verifiers, and two, maintain a list on the internet of those verifiers that have been trained and certified for the current year. And this current language is pretty vague with respect to the training and certification process, in that if a certification exists, it implies that there is a decertification process, but it leaves a lot open to interpretation. So we're looking to rectify that. The proposed amendment to this language will clarify specific requirements for receiving and maintaining certification that we already have in place, but just haven't codified. And we will also detail causes for and the outcomes of any disciplinary action that may arise. So the purpose of this proposed amendment is part one, clarification of these requirements for obtaining certification. And again, most of this section has been in place kind of as long as the program has existed, they just haven't been codified. The main new addition to this is that a full retraining and testing are going to be required every 5 years in person. And this is because this program is constantly evolving and it's very complex, as you all know from working in it. So we thought that it was best for everyone to stay up to date and relevant in this program, that it would be because occasional comprehensive retraining is attended. So we just think this is a way to ensure everyone stays on the same page as us and is up to date with all of the changes that occur year to year. And we have greatly increased the level of detail that will be covered during training. So we've expanded it from just 2 days from the in-person part to 3 full days of training and then a testing day. So it's going to be much more comprehensive in the future. Part two of this proposed amendment is going to outline costs for disciplinary action and what the decertification process looks like. And this is mainly to add accountability to the verifier certification. If there's no consequences in place, many people won't adhere to a process, unfortunately. So we're finding that we might need to put one in place. And most verifiers are ethical and do follow rules on their own, but some might exploit loopholes and technicalities because we don't have this kind of a disciplinary process in place. And some verifiers may only want to address issues if there are tangible consequences. So this is just our way of making sure that the process that most people adhere to is adhered to by all that are certified. And this decertification process will allow multiple warnings with the opportunity to improve prior to decertification beginning. So this isn't going to come out of the blue. No one's just going to get a letter that they're decertified one day. It's going to be a very rigorous process with lots of documentation and many opportunities to improve. And we also are going to be allowing for appeals during each step of the process to the third party. And that will be the deputy director of DCNR or the SEC if the verifier so chooses if they're in this process. So this decertification process will be used to address repeated violations that have not been corrected in response to warnings. So again, there will be plenty of warnings. This isn't going to be dropped on anybody out of the blue. Unless you have some egregious conduct, which is detailed in number 12 of the proposed language. And that would be something like you're out on a verification project and you commit a crime, assault, something like that, something egregious, which you should be expecting consequences from. So again, that wouldn't be anything out of the blue. So it's not just going to get dropped on anyone. This process will not be implemented without sufficient cause or documentation. We will send warnings both verbally and in writing, and you will have multiple opportunities to improve before we go into this actual decertification. This won't be implemented for occasional minor project mistakes. Those are expected and they happen, and we work with you guys all the time to fix those. Those are no big deal. We're not going to decertify you for being human. And we're not going to use this as retaliation for people asking questions, expressing concerns, or giving us constructive criticism about the program, because this is how we improve. These are always welcome. We can't make changes, and we're not aware of these things if you guys don't point them out. So we appreciate that constructive criticism, and decertification will not come about as recourse for this. Our intended outcomes overall for the proposed amendment with respect to certification and decertification are going to be an increased integrity of the whole SageRush ecosystem program. This will also enhance verifiers' knowledge, confidence, and efficiency in completing projects. This will allow protection of verifiers from partnering with others who may underperform and drag down projects and take you with them. Protection of proponents will also come about, and they'll be protected from any extraneous consulting fees, project delays, or project noncompliance, and the potential loss of credits from those. And this will also protect us, the SageRush ecosystem technical team, from verifiers who underperform, misrepresent the program, or substantially increase the workload of implemented staff. So now I'd like to move into the specific language, and you should all have access to this online and in your packet. So I'll just put these up as a placeholder, kind of the first page outlining changes. We'll hover over that, and then we can kind of combine this with the next public comment. We can just do, if you have questions about anything you'd like clarified, and then we can move into public comment. It's kind of an open book on this one since it's a workshop. So first, I guess, are there any questions about the language or this presentation? Okay, if you've had a chance to review it, let's just move into the second public comment. So I'll take any comments you have about the proposed regulations and anything about kind of our reasoning, anything we've talked about, we can comment on, and then we'll take that forward. Do you have any, Adrian?
Well, I appreciate some of that constructive criticism will still be welcome.
Yes.
Yes. But there isn't really a mechanism that they have. Because they haven't. There hasn't been any change, to my knowledge, to any of the comments on it that I've made. So maybe formalizing how those get responded to would be helpful. Not necessarily in the context of the actual regulation, but just sort of as part of the program. But omitting the language to explicitly say that that's okay would be helpful. That's fine.
Any comment online?
Yeah, there's one.
Where are you saying?
It's in the chat.
Yeah, so Ian Dudley.
I could say it verbally. I'm sorry. This is Ian Dudley with Stantec. I was curious of why the license requirement, because a number of us are desktop evaluators and verifiers.
The license requirement for certification.
Yep, 3A, must hold a Class C driver's license. I just would be curious about the rationale there.
Yeah, and I can let Kathleen answer some of this.
Thanks.
Because these have been kind of in place since the the inception of the program, but they haven't actually been required or enforced.
I'm not entirely sure why the Class C driver's license came about. That's always been a standard, I guess, to require driving. You want to?
Well, so I think it's taken from the requirements of what it is to be hired as a state employee. And in the state of Nevada, you're required to have a state of Nevada driver's license.
Yeah. So the original, and not the original intent, the original purpose of verifiers was to be hired by the state, and that is a state requirement that they must hold a Class C driver's license. There's also one that was like must have a business license for Nevada as well, which you have to have if you're going to be doing work in Nevada. So we took that off because that's kind of obvious. But yeah, this probably just kind of came about from the original requirements that were voted in by the SEC when this first came about. Is there, Ian, is there an issue with someone not having a Class C driver's license, or is that just a curious question?
No, I don't have any immediate issues personally, but I can, I can see that if you hire someone in a metropolitan area that wants to run GIS for you, and they just say New York City and people just don't get driver's license in those places, then that person is not allowed to be a verifier under this, a desktop verifier. I'm sure there's ways around that, but I just think it's curious with half of this program being desktop driven.
Sure. Yeah, we'll take that into account. Thanks for bringing that up.
Any other comments, questions, concerns? So that's all we had. like I said, this was to get your comments, and we're going to take these back, take them to heart, and incorporate them as best we can going forward. And then the next you see will be at the hearing, which will take place immediately before the next SEC meeting on December 13th. So that will start at 8:30 a.m. There will be opportunity for public comment there as well.
Location.
And that will be in Endow, at Endow headquarters in Reno. Yes, unless there's further comment, I guess we'll see if anyone has comment.
Yes,
the presentation is up online under the meeting material, so you can all take a look at that on your own time when you'd like to.
It was December 13th?
Yes, December 13th, starting at 8:30 a.m. at the Reno headquarters for Endow.
And there will be availability for further comment at that SEC meeting / hearing.
Any Goodman typing?
I guess we'll leave it open for public comment for a few more minutes. Does anyone have any further public comment?
Danny asked, for those who are already certified, will you be reviewing the listed degree requirements?
No, for those who are already certified, who we've already approved, we will not be reviewing that. It's for everyone moving forward, just to make sure that you are aligned with our requirements. Do note, however, that those are the general requirements that we have used in the past, with the exception, I think, of having a GIS degree. But I think there's Is there other language under that? I think that says of or other degree.
Or equivalent work experience.
Yeah, or equivalent work experience. So I usually took, I took a lot of the equivalent work experience for a lot of you guys. So these are the general requirements that we've used, well, I've used since I came on in 2017. For anyone who has been a verifier since I came on in 2017, this has been the rule. So you should be good. And we will not be retroactively disproving you guys and de-verifying you because of any mistake we made in the past.
And for a lot of us, more people than you would imagine who are verifiers, GIS, not only did GIS training not exist when we were a tool, GIS as a thing didn't exist.
Yeah.
So it's not really possible to meet some of these requirements.
Agreed. Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, I'm pretty sure I threw in their equivalent work experience because of that. Any other further public comment?
None. If you do think of something, a question, concern, or comment you'd like to submit, please email that to us until the end of the day. So we'll accept those until close of business to include as part of this workshop. Otherwise, thank you so much for your participation. It's super helpful to get verifiers involved in this and get their feedback so that we can incorporate it. So we very much appreciate it. And we can go ahead and adjourn.
Thanks all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.